A lot of people will say, I value time, but what's time without meaning or purpose? What if I live a super long life and it's mediocre?
It's like, so you can be a successful businessman and have a great marriage and have kids that love you and you didn't have to compromise. I'm sure it wasn't easy and you're not perfect, but that's a possibility of an outcome in life.
And I understand where you're coming from. Working with kids, I feel like I've been sowing seeds since I was 12. So I can't relate to the idea of not sowing or pouring into someone younger.
Well, guys, I got a guy in the show that I went through my church awaken has. It's so amazing. Like, our church is incredible. We have this marketplace ministry called Pathfinders and really pioneered by the Higginbottoms. And they basically created like a coaching program for the marketplace because we believe that God has called us to take territory, right? In our businesses. And I'll never forget, David, when you came in and you were a guest speaker in there. And one of the things I noticed immediately on you is not only are you extremely skilled at what you do and an incredible person at the lane God's called you to, but you carry a lighthearted joy. Like when you spoke, it was fun. Like I really, you know, like some speakers, you're like, oh, well, how much more time do they got? And then you got some speakers, you're just like, does it have to end? We're having so much fun. You were that. And I mean, I have 3 pages of notes as you taught us in that talk, and you came in and spoke on what you're good at, which is branding. And guys, this guy's world class. I mean, world class at launching brands and leveling up brands and consulting some of the top companies in the world on their branding and knowing the value in that. And I'm just honored, man, that you said yes to this show, that you're here today, that you're blessing us with your time. Thanks for coming on the show, David.
It's my pleasure to invest. There is no sacrifice, only investments, man. And I want to tell you something too. I had my kids this morning, Rowan and Lane. Yeah.
Come on.
Shout out. 12 and 11, newly turned 11, Lane, my daughter. But we prayed for you and your wife, Esther, and just that God would bless everything you touch because you do it for his glory. I told my kids, this is a man that you can look to that works really hard, but not just for the sake of working hard, but like fueled by a purpose. Like his why is so big, he's not going to get depleted. So I just want to share that with you, man, tell you that this whole podcast episode's been covered, and I really appreciate the opportunity. I value you.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Yeah. Likewise. Well, let's have some fun. You ready?
Yeah.
Cool. Well, you know, you've listened to my show. You've done your research, so you know I'm going to ask. And I, you know, David, what do you value most in life?
My goodness, man. The breath in my lungs. Hear me. A lot of people said time, you know? I value time, but what's time without meaning or purpose? What if I live a super long life and it's mediocre? What good is time? When we like to look at it in the context of, well, hey, God's called me to do these things and this and that, and I'm going to do, you know, so I'm going to use the time that's been given. But for me, time well spent is, does this please him?
Mm.
Does this please him? Is he so stoked on me? He's like, yeah, buddy, go, son, get that thing, dude. And then when I botch it daily, there's grace for me, man. And so I live in gratitude for the breath in my lungs and know that he sees me even when others don't. More on that later. And it's a really beautiful thing, man, to know that with breath in my lungs, God's saying, hey, I trust you with another day. It's a gift. Let's go.
Dude. Come on.
Yeah.
How do you know that what you're doing is pleasing God?
One of my favorite movies is Chariots of Fire. It's old. It's like in the 80s. But it's about
like black and white?
No. That's like,
I didn't know like how old you meant.
Yeah, I know. Gosh. No, it's color. And but the soundtrack, you know, like heavy synth and all that. But Eric Little, it's based on a true story about a missionary who God made really fast as a runner. And he said, when I run, I feel his pleasure. And that stuck with me from a very young age. And even now to this day, it's not just a feeling as much as it in my spirit. I have a belief I have a confidence that it pleases him, because it's not his kingdom come, or it's not my kingdom come, right? It's his kingdom come. And so when I do the things, love him and love people, anytime that I put someone else before myself, I feel his pleasure. So that's the basis. That's the baseline. That's the foundation for everything is I want to do this, but man, there is no shortage of need and people in my life. So how can I put them first? And I know someone's listening to this right now and saying, bro, you need boundaries.
Yeah.
I got them. But can I tell you that the fuel source is not just his pleasure, because I want to please him, like as like, I want to be so pleasing to you, Lord, but it's about honor and it's about commitment and this obedience and this love that I have for my God. I love him.
Yeah.
Like I want to do these things. I get to do these things.
That's so good. And even look at the first two commandments, right? The first one is really commanding us to love God. And the second, to love our neighbor as self, to love our brother. And it's interesting. I just got married, you know, a month and a half ago. And I was writing my vows and preparing to stand before my now wife and like vow to her, right?
Right.
Like, and I'm digging into the word and I'm like spending time with God. And I'm like, God, give me revelation on love. And what I understand love to be from the biblical definition is to lay your life down for another, right? And it's interesting because I think it's so easy. People say like, I want to lead a life of love. I want to love people. I want to put them first. But the definition means to lay your own life down for them. And you just spoke it so well, because it's like, man, David wants, Cody wants, I want a successful podcast, right? I want this, I want that. But love means I'm going to love this man in front of me. I'm going to lay down my pride, my ego, my want, my desire, and I'm truly going to give him everything I got to honor him, to serve him, to pour into him, exalt him. And through that, I trust that my God, because he loves me, and wants me to act in obedience the way he loves me to others, that he'll take care of that.
Hello.
And I just, I resonate with that. I respect that. Let's go deep right now. Yeah, let's just go. I asked you before this show, is there anything God is really speaking to you in this season to speak on? And guys, the reason I ask like this and I do this is, it's very easy to have David come on here and tell me your story and tell me what you've done and tell me your accolades and how did you become so successful, and nothing against that. Been on a lot of podcasts like that. But I know that like the longer I'm living, the more I'm knowing in each season of my life, the best thing I'm equipped to speak on is the very thing I'm learning right then.
Come on, man.
And you're going through your own season of life, completely different than mine. And you got something right now that you can chew on and share that could literally speak to somebody listening and be like, that's me. Like, I'm feeling that. So back to you, David. In this season of your life, will you share with the audience what you shared with me?
Yeah. June of this last year. So I backfill briefly is I've heard audibly from God three times in my life. And one time I don't remember because I was a baby. But my parents were in a church where they would sprinkle the child, you know, and commit them. And I was like a baptismal thing, which I've been baptized since by my choice. But my mom heard and I was there, but I don't remember. But God audibly booming voice in the church where she looked around and said, he is mine. And she shares that story with me. And it's something I've shared with my children. And I'm, you know, waiting for the next time I get to want to hear audibly, you know, not simply in a dream or a vibe or a feeling or a, you know, and that still small, you know, voice that he speaks to us these things. And I'm not discounting that at all or diluting that. The second time was, man, I don't know if we have time to show for it, but where I was held under surfing. I love to surf. And I was in Morro Bay, California, up the Central Coast, kind of halfway between San Francisco and LA. And I got held for three sets and I had given up. Because I couldn't get air, I couldn't, and I was just floating. And he said, rise, rise, rise. And it wasn't my voice, like, you know, sometimes we say. But in June, the third time I heard, and he told me to speak up.
Wow.
And what my heart was in that moment was feeling, I'm a feeler, feeling the hurt of people that I cared about and people that I didn't even know. And it just kind of all came at once, right? And this feeling of, why are so many people around me, humans around me, just hurting?
Yeah.
You know, what, like, what's, like, and obviously, like, oh, it's a broken world, bro. And it's like, you know, people have free will. They do the things that they want to do. And then that there's a consequence to that. And then it got really specific thinking about church, and not simply like our church, but like the church, and just even having family members that are just super beat up from it, you know? And it's easy for me to say, oh, well, these are imperfect human beings. You know, there's no difference. Like, there's no hypocrisy in the church. There's hypocrisy everywhere. Like, people are hypocrites. People say one thing and they do another. The church isn't special, but they've got this mindset that, like, well, it should be held to a higher standard. And I agree. But I also temper that with, man, these are fallible humans doing the best they can, you know, with what they've been given. And what I realized was that people were putting, they were worshiping, people in church were worshiping the pastor. They were worshiping the worship. They were worshiping the message. They were worshiping the ministry. They were worshiping the church, looking at the church as the church is going to do this. And we want God to come bless it. We want God to amplify our message. We want God, we want Holy Spirit to do what the church is doing.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, like, we're meant to amplify what God is doing. Like, God with us because we're aligned to his perfect will, his kingdom come. So I'm going to go do these things. Yes, he's with me because I'm doing the good works that he set for me to do in advance.
Yeah.
Somebody, like, it really came to sing. Well, I'm like, well, so what's my, so I understand my position on that, but now what am I going to do about it?
And how are you going to speak up?
Speak up. And so I started doing posts, you know, not daily. Not doing content daily, Cody, but I've got like maybe 100+ things that I wrote down.
Wow.
And I prayerfully considered for about a month things that were in me and conversations I was having in private. And what I gathered from God in that moment was, hey, how do you use your platform to say things in a way that people will understand? Because you can be right about something and be completely wrong about how you're right.
That's so good.
Telling you, this is from my dad. He's like, son, you say these things and I hear you and there's truth there, but it's not being received. There's an old proverb, not in the Bible, but said that when truth, I'm paraphrasing, when truth went to the village to tell the townspeople these things, they shut their doors and they locked them out and they sent truth away. But truth came back wrapped in story and was welcomed to their homes and they sat by the fire and it was fed and watered and, you know, wow. They bedded truth, like, because it was wrapped in story. And that's something that, you know, to be true in marketing and advertising, oh, yeah. Right? Story is king. It's so powerful in that human connection. And I realized that the hurts we had, we weren't talking about it. Because if I talk about it, I'm going to either uncover someone, and that there's discernment there, right? There's wisdom in that. But also, there's shame around it. And so what I realized was that all these hurts that I had and other people had was in a dark, damp place, and they were getting moldy, and the smell was there, and things were festering. And so wanting to use story to shine a light, but not a bright light to where it's like, oh, that hurts. Sometimes it pricks. Sometimes it stings. But this really warm light, you know, like, I see you. Like, I see you because I've been there, or I know someone who has. And what happened, like, that wasn't okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to call people out, but I'm also going to call you out because you're responsible for your own life.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's been this really beautiful thing where not a ton of engagement. Maybe you can help me with that. But the DM engagement, that side, like behind closed doors.
Yeah. People are reaching out because it's stirring something in them.
Bro, it's just such a blessing. And that's the confirmation of like, okay, I'm doing what I need to do. I'm honoring what you told me to do to speak up.
I love that. And, you know, I think that when you look at like the way that God crafted you and what you're already good at, there's probably a reason you were called into branding. There's probably a reason you're really good at what you do. And now God's saying, hey, I'm going to use that.
Come on.
Because I want you to speak up about this. You know, it's interesting because people don't like to be instructed and told what to do. We don't. There's a natural wall that goes up, right? Like how you say something is everything, right? So if you tell me like, Cody, you need to do this, who are you to tell me? Right. But when you say, hey, man, let me tell you this story about John. Mm. And in the story of John, you actually speak to the thing you want to instruct me on. Yeah. And you take me through a journey. The entire time, I'm going, yo, I'm John. You know what I mean?
Hopefully.
Hopefully, right? And maybe even leaving that, I'm still ignorant and maybe don't, you know, but hopefully it resides. And the art of storytelling has always been, since the beginning of man, to my understanding, the greatest way to pass on wisdom. Jesus spoke in parables. Jesus didn't say right
heart,
or wrong.
Man. Yeah, like, come on.
And that's how he led. And I mean, you look at, man, sometimes I just want to slap his disciples for him. You know, it's just like there, Jesus would literally, and then, well, let me tell you another story.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Simon and trying to understand things and like all these things. And he would continue to tell story after story. Now we get to read those stories.
Right.
So I love that you're doing that. And I think there's so much power in that. Now, let's go deeper into the hurt of the church. I've never had anyone talk about that on this podcast, and I really want to go there, man. Like, nothing's off limits on this show. And, you know, if someone gets offended by it, that's okay, because sometimes when you express truth and you talk about things and you have these conversations, somebody's going to get offended. But nonetheless, they need to be had. They need to be talked about. So go deeper into that dark, moldy place that we're locking away our hurt from the church, and just kind of share some thoughts there.
Yeah, I think I talked a little bit about it. I'll go deeper, but I think what we do is we elevate man, woman, we elevate the human, and we put them on a pedestal. And it says in the Bible that, you know, the teachers and you know, the priests, like, they're going to be held to a higher standard by God, not by man, but, you know, and somehow we've made ourselves judge and jury.
Yeah.
Not, and it's so funny. It's like, you don't know him. You don't see me. It's like, do you see your pastor? Do you see your ministry leader? And we don't. And so what happens is, it's when I'm not being cared for, I have to turn to self, right? And it's self-preservation. It's that fight or flight. So it's like, well, my pastor isn't loving me the way that I want to be loved, or the leader in my ministry, whether you're serving, you're volunteering on team, or just, you know, you're just in the congregation. And this isn't specific to Awaken. This is church.
Just in general. Yeah.
Yeah. Church, man. And what happens is, it's really unfair what we do. And I do it. I've done it, where you have an expectation that doesn't get met. And then it's that old adage of like throwing the baby out with the bathwater. So it's like, well, then, you know, screw church. Like, I'm over it. Like, screw God. Like, I don't, like, he doesn't love me because these people that he's elevated and put in these high places of authority and position, where they're supposed to shepherd me, they're supposed to pastor me. Like, where's the shepherd heart, right? It's like, you're all about X, Y, Z. And like, that doesn't speak to me. And I think what happens is we end up missing a lot. And this is me speaking, coming out of hurt,
yeah,
you know, multiple churches, and realizing, looking back, I've always been in ministry. I've been in ministry since I was 12, working with my dad, working with the kindergartners.
Wow.
Through the Awana program. It's like a Boy Scout, Girl Scout thing at church. Memorized Bible verses, really strong biblical foundation that I'm so grateful to my parents for. And he brought me along, and he was the commander there. My mom was involved, and it's like a whole family thing with like little vests we put on.
Oh, come on. Those,
you earn the little jewels on the crowns and all the stuff. Yeah. And it was rad. But I feel like I've always been in ministry, and being hurt by the church never took me out from ministry, which is good. Like, I'm grateful for that. But I had seasons where I was just like, I'm kind of going through the motions a little bit, you know?
Yeah, and I've been there.
You know, and you just kind of feel like I'm trying to be obedient, but my heart's not in it. And then what comes next? The burnout, right? You get the burnout because you're not connected to your why anymore, because you don't know what your why is. Because the obedience alone, it's supposed to sustain you, but it's like, I'm not actually enjoying this.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not connected to the people I get to serve. And what ended up happening for me was I realized I was actually serving, you know, my boss. I was serving my supervisor. I was serving my pastor, which sounds good.
And I want to, because God just spoke to me.
Yeah.
In that moment, do you feel like you had the fear of man over the fear of the Lord?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Because that's who I was serving.
Right. Because, right? Like, I'm afraid of my spiritual leader thinking less of me.
Go there.
So I am going to go over serve to a point of I'm not actually happy, because I'm afraid that if I don't, you'll be displeased with me. But yet in the doing of that, and dude, me and my wife have dug into this, bro. So it's crazy.
Let's go.
Talked for hours about the fear of man over the fear of the Lord. Because if you truly fear the Lord, then you hate evil. You hate all sin. all sin, and you never want to be apart from God. And even in the doing of ministry, we can actually sin.
Absolutely.
We can actually be disobedient to God because we want to please man so much that there's a separation, and we know, and God's like, yeah, because you stopped fearing being apart from me, and you're so scared what your pastor thinks that you lost the whole point of all of this.
Totally.
And then we're, but it's my pastor's fault. You know what I mean? And it's like, not really. You know, there's an ownership in that.
Sure.
So I'll throw it back to you.
Yeah. There is an ownership for pastors and leaders, 100%. But
and yes, they should be held to a higher standard, right? They hold a position of authority within the church, but there's also an ownership in our end.
Honestly, for me, my biggest, I'm 46, don't have it all figured out. And maturation is not simply tied to an age, if we can agree to that. I was just talking to a creative, this is a small tangent that will color this thing. But I was talking to this creative guy last night. We're doing premarital for this couple, and this guy is a creative. He does lots of things. And we were talking about how, and he's on the younger side, but he has been prolific in his career so far. He has been extremely high output, high volume. So now, if you want to talk about metrics for maturation and for being, you know, wise in things and being experienced, what he's done is he's taken 10, 15 years worth of work into 5, 6 years or whatever it is. And there's something to be said about that, right? Yeah. This like idea of that, like, I can't necessarily, and I know you're like, how's this tangent coming in? It's this idea of some of us have a lot of experiences with pastors, and we're working really close with them, or we got to see behind the veil and we saw how human they were.
Yeah.
How dare you be human? How dare you struggle and the same things I struggle with and put your pants one leg on the other. And, oh yes, you also, you know, do laundry and you make yourself food. And you also have the same concerns about your children growing up in a world that feels wild. And you know, it's crazy. And you also wrestle with God, you know, and you also battle sleepless nights, and you also battle addictions of certain types. And we forget that. And so I think we hold them to a higher standard, but there's no love. There's no grace on it. And if I could just, anyone, and I'm supposed to look there, anyone who feels like, man, I just got so burned and so hurt, I promise you that person, that other human being, has the same battle with fears, the same battle with unworthiness and insecurities and all the very many things. And I just ask you to look back on that time and just go up. I don't know. Go apologize to him. Say, I judged you really harsh and I was really hurt. And this doesn't take away anything that you felt.
Yeah.
I think sometimes people think if I concede this and I apologize first, half the time, I'm going to tell you, just because I've spoken to pastors, they don't even know that they hurt you. They have no clue. How many times have you driven your car and someone cuts you off and they don't wave or anything? They didn't realize it, and you do the same dang thing. You have no idea how many people you've cut off on the road. You're oblivious, and you want to be judged for that? Like, no, of course not. You're like, oh, ouch. Like, if I knew, I'd say I was sorry. If I knew, I'd try to make it right. I'd do the little wave. And I think in ministry, in any relationship, we have this thing. We're so focused on self that when we get hurt, it's like, how could you, or how dare you? And there are times too when, yeah, dude, pastor's totally wrong. Leader's wrong. Absolutely, no bones about it. Unacceptable. And anyone who's suffered from abuse, that is not what I'm talking about whatsoever. It's just to make that super clear.
Yeah.
I'm talking about like the church hurt of like expectations weren't met, that type of thing. If that makes sense.
Yeah, that's good, David. And back to love.
Yeah.
Because we're actually called to love our pastor as ourself, and they're called to love us. That's his commandment. There's no if, and, or but about it. It's like when you have family and you love a significant other or a kid or a spouse, you know, a spouse, whatever, there is times the spouse does things that you don't agree with, but you still got to love them through it. But you have to have healthy communication about it, because they don't even know they offended you if you don't tell them.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh my God, I didn't even know. And yeah, there is certain scenarios that are very dramatic, serious things that there should not be grace on, and there should be like, that's not okay, and we need to do something about it. I want to hit on the area of serving, and I want to be honoring, right? I'm very big on, like, I want to cover. I, you know, I don't want to dishonor anybody, but there is a level of in church. We even just saw what happened with Hillsong and all the things that came out with there. And my wife was a part of that. There's a lot of trauma inside of her. She grew up with evangelistic parents. So she evangelized all over. Her parents planted in North Miami in the Haitian community. She's the tiniest of all the siblings. If you haven't noticed, she's small. She had to carry the cross door to door, knock on doors, evangelize. And her dad's an amazing man, but she grew up in ministry. She went in college to Bible college. Mm. She served in missionary organizations. She became a nanny with some of the biggest ministry leaders we know in the world. She traveled with them. She nannied their kids. She was part of the Hillsong movement, all that. And I've seen such a trauma of in the area of serving where man took serving and turned it into servitude and used God's name.
Ooh.
And so that's kind of a more of a dramatic version. And then there's just a side of you're a part of a great church and you say yes to too many things because you're asked to do too many things and you find yourself
never
burn out. And your ministry leaders are very busy and you feel overlooked and you don't feel loved and you don't feel appreciated. I've been there. I've been in a spot, you know, even with our church, and I've talked to my leaders and I'll still cover them where I was like, I just feel like I'm going through motions and I'm not enjoying it. And I'm only serving because I want to please you and I don't want to let you down. And that's not the point of any of this. And great, I've had great leaders. Someone we were talking about earlier who sat down with me, taken me to lunch, poured into me, listened to me and was like, yeah, that's not okay.
Yeah.
These are the order of things that we have, right? We have God, we have our wife, we have our children.
Hello.
We have, and then I think it goes to like ministries, like in the bottom, we have our career, our friends, like ministry is not even in the top three of the things we should prioritize on.
You're talking about the actual like function of ministry because my life is my ministry.
Yeah.
So just to be clear.
To be clear, I don't know, Awaken speaks on this. It basically says like the order of priorities should be your relationship with God, your relationship with your wife, your spouse, your relationship with your children. Then I believe it's like relationships with your friends, your career, and then ministry, as far as ministry of serving in the church.
Gotcha.
Like those things should be in order. And if ministry takes slot number one, and now ministry, like serving in church, is over relationship with God, relationship with wife. You're out of order. You're out of whack.
Completely. Yeah. A pastor that's really is dear to me always says the values we live must be congruent with the values we hold. And he knows exactly who he is when I said that. And he has said so many things that are, I don't want to call them truth bombs. That implies like, oh, it blew up on me. But it's like it penetrates, you know, it really hits you right in the core of who you are. Yeah, I think that it goes back to the serving because when your priorities, like whatever your priorities are, and you look at, okay, well, ministry is my main thing because I get fed there. You know, like I think a lot of people are addicted to that dopamine hit of, well done, well done. And they get addicted. I'm going to go there a little bit. They get addicted to the potential or the carrot on the stick of like, I'm going to be on stage. I'm going to have the microphone, the spotlight. I'm going to get to do this thing or that. Yeah. There's a proximity to leadership, a status thing that we love. And really what the heart of it is, they just want to belong, man. They just want to belong to something. And they feel like they're in leadership. They're on the fringe. And it's like, what's the next, like, how do I, like, what's the next ladder rung to climb, you know? And they're almost looking at ministry like work.
Like corporate.
Like, yeah, corporate.
Like climbing a ministry ladder.
Yeah, you know? How do I, and it's like, you know, the whole first shall be last, and God looks at the heart and not the outward, and like, oh my gosh, we've got it so upside down. And that's part of how we get healed is when we come to grips and come to terms with and come to a deeper, and I like to say deeper instead of just an understanding because that implies what I don't understand. No, it's a deeper understanding of what God's purpose and intention was for how you would serve in ministry and what the church is supposed to look like. And it's beautiful, man, like when we do it his way. And you see good health, you know, and things. And then you see stuff that's not in health. And it gets tough. It gets tough because my heart bleeds for people. And
especially the ones that have felt that and hurt, and they leave the church, and they almost isolate themselves from good community.
Oh yeah,
and they don't want to come back because they've labeled all of church.
All of church.
As well, that was my experience. That was my trauma. That's what happened. So why would I ever want to be a part of a church
right.
that made me feel that way? What do you say to that person?
Real? I just tell them I see you, man. That must have hurt real bad. Like, you know, we say, like, oh, like, Jesus does the saving, God does the saving. That's true. But I think that there's a responsibility for us to be, I always say malleable clay, meaning, like, hey, Master Potter, like, you form and fashion me into whatever tool, whatever weapon, whatever you need me to be for you today or multiple times a day. If I remain malleable and pliable, if I remain flexible to your will and your leading, your calling, then in that moment, I'm there to be a friend, because they don't need someone else telling them what to do to go back to that. Because yeah. that's what people want to do. Oh, bro, you're just butthurt. Ah, yeah, you're butthurt. Get over it. You know, and I've seen it. I've witnessed it firsthand. And there turns into a lot more damage control. And I think, to be honest, like, my message to church leaders, if I could, and just those that have a position of authority and power is, I see you too. Like, I see those struggles, and it's hard because everyone wants your attention, you know, and you, like, whether you walk into the lobby or you're at this place, you're trying to get home to your family, right? And the ministry is it's incessant, right? It never stops. And I, it feels like if you're ever short, even one time, it becomes like your reputation. You know, if you're quick to anger one time, it becomes this persona that you have, because you've got all these people and everyone's talking. That's gotta be really tough. And so I see you too. And I think other people see you too.
Yeah.
And I'm really proud of a lot of different leaders and pastors at Awaken specifically that I've got to have these conversations with, man. And I can tell you there's a real movement happening, and people are kind of seeing that, like, wow, like, when I speak, like, there's a lot of weight because of my authority. And that's that elevated responsibility of, like, shoot, like, not everybody wants to hear it the same way. And I think some people think, well, this is who I am, you know, so I'm just going to say whatever I want to say. And it's on you if you, you know, don't receive that well. But I wonder, like, gosh, if we could come in with a little more grace on it. You know, a little more fruit of the spirit, gentleness on it, you know, like I had this expression that I think my dad told me a long time ago. It's about how to talk to my wife, and it's really how you talk to people. And I was just on the phone with a dear friend talking about his marriage and how when water in itself is inherently is a good thing.
Yeah.
But water as a flood or a landslide, the stuff like that causes, right, is bad. You know, flooding is bad, but we love water. Like, so rain is good, but we're like, all rain? It's like, well, sometimes there's things that happen with it. So if water is life and you want to water someone, it says he who waters himself will be watered. Yeah. And that's like encouragement. That's like, you know, seeing someone, hearing someone, loving someone. We come with a fire hose, right? Because it's water. So I'm going to give you truth. I'm going to give you love. I'm going to give you, you know, advice. And yeah. It's from a fire hose. And these plants, right? These flowers with these petals just get demolished. They can't receive it because water like that, the how you referenced before, we need to spritz it. It needs to be like dewdrops so that the flower can actually process and receive. You know, dewdrops sit on there. They don't just get absorbed like that. They sit on the flower and then they make their way in time. Some people need to process longer, generalizing. Women need more time to process certain things. And I think that there's an element of tact and strategy and intentionality is how I want to live my life, especially with my words. And I don't always get it right, but that's my heart is to speak with a spritzing, because if I'm speaking for the sake of speaking, then it's about me. But if I'm speaking with the intent for you to receive what I have, man, that's like, so it's all about the delivery.
It's everything. Dude, I saw a vision while you were talking. I feel like I have to give it to you.
It's
crazy. I saw that you wrote this book, and it was 100 of these stories.
Bro, stop.
And when they opened the book, there was a... No, wait, it gets better. There is the story, and there's a QR code. and the QR code actually goes to a video of you breaking the story down.
Oh my gosh.
And as they go through the book, there's 100 pages, 100 QR codes, 100 stories. And every story is speaking to this. Bro, I saw it like as real gets, like it's sitting on this table while you were talking.
It's massive confirmation, my friend. Thank you. I received that. Anyone that knows me, like inner circle, that's really powerful. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, God.
Come on.
For speaking through, that's crazy, through Cody. Bro.
I'm sitting here and I'm like, wild. I don't know if I want to, like, you know, like always that hesitation. You know, we're on the podcast and we're live right now. And I'm like, nah.
Wait, this is live?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It actually is recorded.
Raul.
You didn't know, actually, this is the first live show. We just didn't tell you.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Everything's being streamed right now to the whole world.
Lordy B. Okay. Yeah. Cool.
No, it was a cool vision, man. And yeah. God's doing something cool in your life. You know, like, speak up is such a powerful statement. And, you know, like, I'm a younger guy and I know I have a gift of communication. And the more I'm stewarding this gift, the more I'm learning the responsibility of how I say things to people. And I just, I wish more leaders took that serious. And I wish there were more people that had that gift that took time to think about what they're going to say to people before they say it. Because I've made that mistake a lot. And I've spoken out of ignorance. I've spoken out of pride. And now I just, like, I hear you and I'm like, you know, you really do have some wisdom that's special. Like while you're talking, I was like, can he just talk the rest of the time? Because I'm absorbing it right now, you know, as much as I can. Maybe some of it I got to leave here and I don't really, it'll then click, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, that's just.
Because there are dewdrops on your petals and your process.
And it's taking time.
Yeah.
And just using the story of even articulating the illustration of that is so much easier than looking at me and saying like, hey, man, this is going to take time for it to like settle in when you tell me this beautiful story of flowers and then dewdrops. And I'm like, that makes sense.
Dewdrops. Do the dewdrops.
But hey, in all realness, be obedient.
Yeah, man.
Be obedient. Follow through.
Yeah.
And you don't need to worry about how many people like the video, watch the video. Doesn't matter.
Come on.
I actually will tell you a story. Years ago, I felt God calling me to encourage people. The world was so negative. Like social media came out and it was really cool. And it turned into like, I won't use the word I want to use, but a complaining fest.
Yeah.
And I took a break from social media because like everyone else, I was like, well, if there's a problem, I'll just avoid it. Mm. And God just grabbed me and he's like, no. We don't avoid problems. We're solutions.
Hello.
And he said, you just need to be that one post they read, that one video they watch, that amidst all of the negativity, your post elevates their belief system today. Yeah. And I'll do the rest. And God, I don't know what to say. I don't have the right camera equipment. All the excuses, you know, like that all comes up. And I wasn't, you know, now this is cool. We have cameras in studio. This is cool. I'm grateful. I'm very blessed. God's worked through me. But there was a time in my life when I had an iPhone 5 and I was just like me in my little bedroom, you know, I started making these videos and God spoke through another man to me because I was telling him my idea to do these 30-second motivation checks. So I would record, truthfully, they weren't always 30 seconds. They're anywhere from like 20 to 60, but I never went over a minute. Minute or less, bite-sized videos. And I'm doing this and I committed I'm going to do one every day for a year. Like I'm not going to miss a single day. That's kind of how Content Daily was born.
Makes sense.
Was out of doing Content Daily.
Yeah.
I'm working at a car dealership. I'm selling cars. I have this vision from God that one day I'm going to inspire people all around the world. And I've just gone through such a season of humility and a rock bottom. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to speak what God puts on my heart today. It was very impromptu. Not like I didn't have 100, like I wasn't on the level you're at of 100 prepared. And I did this and I was going through this process and I'm 100 something days into it. And I'm like, man, like I got like 12 likes on this video, you know, like 200 people watched it. Like, is this worth it? Like all of the doubt creeps in.
Right.
And you know what changed it for me is I go into a grocery store and I think it was a Kroger and I'm going to check out and there's an older lady, like not like super, but in her 50s probably. I'm a young guy.
She's a young woman. Soup's young, bro.
How old are you?
46.
So she's in her young lady, in her 50s.
There you go.
And she looks at me in a really interesting way. Like I could tell she was like almost like she knew me.
She recognized
me. And I was like, she's like, I know this is weird, but are you the 30-sec motivation check guy? And I'm like, I've never had that happen ever. We're 100-something days into this thing. And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, I just want to say I love your videos.
Wow.
And every day I look forward to waking up because I post them in the morning, and your video makes my day.
Come on.
And I've had days where my son, he's addicted to drugs and all of these things, and your video gives me hope for him, and it also gives me hope for myself. She shares this. That's it. That's our conversation. I asked her name. It was like Karen or something. And I go, I've had to be a Karen. And I, so I go back like a month of videos and I'm clicking on all of the likes and I'm reading through the names.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm trying to find Karen and I can't find her. And I had this epiphany, like God spoke to me and he said, more people are watching than you think. And it was in that moment that I was like, it doesn't matter. A lot of the people you're going to impact aren't going to like your video.
Right.
They're not going to DM you. They're not going to comment. But I'll tell you what, somebody saw that video and it shifted something in them.
Come on.
And so that's my mission. Even with this, dude, like I've just organically been growing this. We still don't reach as many people as we want. And I spend a lot of money to do all of this. And God just reminds me, if one person listens to this and their life's made better,
let's go.
Then you're obedient to what I've called you to do. Because I truly heard from God to do this.
Yeah.
And so I hear you and I see what you're doing and I just felt like encourage you with that.
Yeah.
Because man, you're a busy guy, dude. You're a father, you're a husband, you're a business owner, you're ministry. There's, you have every excuse in the world to be like, yeah, you know, I don't know if I should do this anymore. Hmm. But just remember that and then take it to him, obviously.
Of course. I love that, man. It's, you know, speaking of leaders in our church, this guy will know who he is, but we had a breakfast and he told me that, when he impacts someone that he knows of, he says it's like, and God gave him this vision. He says it's like taking the stone and throwing it over a wall that I can't see. And I hear it hit the water, which causes ripple effects. But I don't know. I feel like, well, that's a big stone. Like we had a, you know, a long meeting, you know, so it was like a 3-hour session, bro, like big, ooh, you know, and he chucks it over the wall. And then when he's dead and he's saying for God, like he'd be able to see the impact. And he, the thing that got me was he said, you know, some of those rocks that you thought were really huge didn't really make that much of an impact. Not because of you or even because of God, because the person that received it either didn't fully receive it or didn't do anything with it, right? Mm. What's like, how good is good advice if it's not taken and implemented? How good's a teach in Pathfinder's apprenticeship if there's nothing applicable? And like, you can't take, the apprentice can't take it and apply it, you know, same day, next day, whatever. And he said, and there's some things that felt like it was just like a wafer of a rock, you know, just like a pebble. And he like chucks it. It's like, cool. Maybe it was a smile. Maybe it was like, I see you look across the auditorium or just coffee shop. And he gave someone a hug. Who knows? But in that moment, man, there was fertile heart soil and it just changed everything. And he said, it just, it drives him. And it really affected me. This is just a few weeks ago. So if he's listening, yeah, you are incredible. Just amazing.
It's crazy. You know, like even there's so much scripture around and we look at it as the saving of souls of seed being cast on a different type of soil.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's that fertile soil. And all my life, man, I've just wanted to be that fertile soil.
Come on.
You know, I don't think I ever thought about myself as the seed sower until maybe a little more recently, probably because of my youth too. But I was just like, man, if I could just get, you know, an hour of David's time and grab lunch with him. And I could, even if he throws a whole handful of seed and only two actually go, I know something's going to grow out of two. And I just feel like for those listening to this, you know, you have this like lifetime, you should always be seeking wisdom from God, but also Proverbs talks about wise counsel.
Come on.
And I know that as a young man, I would like, I grew up my dad in prison, raised by a single mom. And so I always felt called to like kind of have father figures, you know, like, cause it was such a, there was a wound there that I wanted to fill. But I would look around and I started noticing this trend, and I believe he does create divine alignment for our assignment where I felt called to marketplace.
Yeah.
And maybe it stems from a place of never having much as a kid and knowing that like there was abundance out of that. Maybe that was the start, but it shifted because I got into being around guys and getting exposed to. And then I would meet like, say like you, David, and I'd be like, man, like you're really successful. But the way you talk about your wife, like, this guy has a lot of money too and drives a fancy car, but he don't talk about his wife that way. And your kid actually likes you and like raves about you. And like, I was like, so you can be a successful businessman and have a great marriage and have kids that love you, and you didn't have to compromise. I'm sure it wasn't easy and you're not perfect, but that's a possibility of an outcome in life. I want what you got. So then I started being like, well, how do I get around you? And that was hard in the beginning. I was like, nobody. But I found there was such a grace of honoring and serving. And in the beginning, you know, David, like, I know you're a busy guy, man, and I honestly just want to be in proximity to you. And it could be as simple as, like, could I just buy you lunch?
Right.
I'll really value the conversation. And a lot of people in that place and schedules are busy and people pull on you. But if you're hungry, they'll give it to you.
Everyone's got to eat.
Yeah. And I would have lunches and I'd get around people and I would just be mind blown. You know, I'd be notebook at lunch taking notes. And I say this because someone listening to this, there's a couple sides to this. There's the side of receivership and going to find someone that has good seed and making sure you're fertile soil, or even in, you're in environments with that, receiving that the best that you can. There's a lot of wisdom I was not ready to digest.
Right.
Very much so. There's wisdom I think about from 5-6 years ago that went so over my head that I love reading my old notebooks.
Yeah.
That now I understand what they were saying and I had no clue then. But then there's the other side of where you're at of sowing seed. What are your thoughts on that?
Personally, with that, I'll tell you one thing I tell leaders and pastors that will entrust me with certain things. I promise them an ROI. Like I promise them an ROI, which is what I'm telling them is that your time is not in vain, not because I'm going to get everything that you're throwing on me, but I promise to be faithful. I promise to steward well the responsibility you're giving me in this function, in this role. And as someone who, and I understand where you're coming from, working with kids, I feel like I've been sowing seeds since I was 12. So I can't relate to the idea of not sowing or pouring into someone younger. I've worked with kids off and on, my gosh, 30 years. And then I have my own kids. So I'm in that, like, I'm a Timothy and a Paul, you know, at all times. And that's a gift from my parents, honestly. I had the best, I know we're not going to story time, but I had the best.
No, stories are the best.
The best childhood, man. The best. I grew up on 80 plus acres up in Paso Robles. I was born in Orange County, but right before I was 6, we moved up there, and I got to see two people who were like gaga for each other. Like, just
mom and dad?
Nuts about each other.
So they really showed you a healthy marriage.
My gosh. My dad just grabbed my mom's butt all the time and she's slapping it. Like that, like, thing like that people look at in the movies. I got to live that. And I was the oldest of three and had just awesome siblings, and we fought. We did, you know, I annoyed them, they annoyed me. We had other things, but we worked hard and we were taught a lot of things, and I guess they integrated us into their life. So, like, my dad worked a second job to make things happen, and he would take us on the job sites. He sold doors and handles and all that kind of stuff for, like, you know, residential projects. And he was a teacher. My parents were both teachers, and he would take us on the job sites, like, on a Saturday morning, and we're just, like, looking for, like, the nail guns.
Yeah.
like, you know, and it was just so fun because there'd be, like, frames and he had to go there and bid the projects and all that. But they integrate us into ministry. And so, we would host, families. There's this group called the Continental Singers. It's just like this traveling, like, gospel things. And we would be the host family. So they'd come stay with us.
Stay with you guys. Yeah.
Yeah. He was so, and it gave you a bigger perspective on, like, what people are doing for ministry. I didn't think that was a thing, but that's what, like, you can serve God a lot of different ways in ministry. And then, like I said, with the Awanas, my dad was a commander. My mom was a leader on the girl side. And I got to be a Bible verse listener, you know, like 12 years old, seventh grade or whatever. And just seeing these 5-year-olds and seeing how they just, you know, looked up, my dad showed me, and I got to lead VBS, like Vacation Bible School, game times, and just all this opportunity and accessibility I had to serving God and pouring into people that were younger than me. I think the shift for me, or a shift that came, was when I realized I can pour into people older than me.
Yeah. There was a shift for me in that too. There was a feeling of almost feeling unqualified. There was a time in my life where pride I felt that, but it was from the wrong place. Mm. Then there was a season of such humility of feeling unqualified to now a healthy place of actually knowing, to be honest, an 8-year-old could sharpen us both right
now. Come
on,
man.
Like, he could say something that you're like, that's childlike faith. You know? Yeah. Like,
dude, it's true. I have kids. They say the darndest things, but beautiful things, things that are worthy, things that are meaningful. I think when people, when it catches them off guard, I want to live a life of intentionality. So I'm actually looking for like these truths. I'm always trying to look for like the analogy or the metaphor, or the something, you know, and just being a natural storyteller and getting to do that as part of my craft. So then when you're looking for things,
what's one truth lately that you saw that spoke to you? If you can think of one on spot, one truth lately that you're like, wow.
From my kids?
Anything.
It's like every day there's something.
Yeah. Any from today?
Yeah, shoot. So this morning, I, to be honest with you, was a little frazzled. Had a lot going on, been up early trying to get some things done, and was feeling it. And when you feel it, it doesn't matter what you say or what you do, you carry that weight, yeah. You know? So I hadn't surrendered that yet. And my son actually, he's 12, man, but he like picked up on that. And I was just like, and I asked him for help, like my 12-year-old, like, can you help dad? Can you make me a breakfast sandwich real quick? Can you fix my watch? Can you, like, stupid little things? And it meant the world because it wasn't him saying yes, it was him, yeah, dad. Like, he was so grateful to be of service. And you will know this more one day, but until you're a parent, there is a depth to God that you just can't understand just yet because you don't have a kid yet. And there's that father-son role, that mother-son role, mother-daughter, whatever, you know, mother parent-to-child role. It's kind of like before you were married. Like, you didn't really, like, there are a lot of things much more apparent to you now because you're living married and you realize, wow, it's not just doing whatever Cody wants to do. Like, I have to consider this other person, you know? And then when you have kids, it's just a whole nother. And then there's even amongst, you know, people that have kids, it's like, well, you got two. You guys are playing man defense. Come talk to me. We have a third, you know?
You're outnumbered.
Yeah. You're like, we're playing zone, babe. What do you got? It's wild to me. But what I saw, the truth that I saw was how me as a father felt in my heart to see this cheerful giver. Oh, didn't say a word about it. He simply was. He simply was a cheerful giver.
Come on. So good. I have one last thing I want to ask you, then anything else you want to share. We've already blown through an hour, which is crazy. Yeah. Wow. That's crazy.
Okay.
The word faithful kept coming up for me when you're talking at the end there, and the word talks a lot about being faithful. And I just would love to know, what does being faithful mean to you in that context? And that could be, you know, being faithful. Like, God tells us to be faithful. There's like so much to be faithful with.
Gosh, that's a great question. I think that when you're full of faith, you believe in things, right? That aren't just yet.
Yeah.
And I love the word yet. If you can make that a suffix to every sentence you say, I don't know this yet. We're not there yet, you know, whatever. So I think faith is obviously it's seeing, you know, seeing future. Having hope for the things that you believe that are promised from God. But I think the act of being faithful is because that's my reality, knowing that God is faithful himself. And because he is faithful, he's not very faithful. Like, we qualify, you're so good. No, he is good. Like, you're so faithful, Lord. And it's like, and I know we're trying to put emphasis. It's black and white. He is faithful.
Yeah.
He is good. Mm. And so when we're faithful, what we're saying is we're stewarding the promise well, by our approach, our response, by our words and our deeds. And I think that a faithful servant takes everything that God has given you and you recognize it as a gift and you do something for his kingdom come, his will be done. And that is in the smile to the person that just needed that. That's loving the unlovable, the person in opposition to you. Our family motto is, we love God wherever I'm at. I'm in the valley, I'm in the mountain, I'm under the avalanche. Love God wherever I'm at. I love people wherever they're at.
Wow.
in opposition to me. I feel like they're against me, like they're my enemy. Like, why are you hurting me? I love you. Crush goals, regardless of feeling that, and then to have joy in all of that.
Come on.
A lot of choices that we have to make. So
that's amazing. I love that. And David, as we wrap up here, I might have to bring you back on, man, just to dive deeper. Anything else that you just feel that you'd like to impart to somebody that has listened this far into this episode?
If you're still here.
If you're still hanging with us, David's got more.
Oh, man. I think I love to encourage people. And something that I will tell you, and this is from leadership to those that maybe feel like you're kind of bottom of the barrel, or, you know, like, what do I have to offer? And this is going to feel a little bit, this is going to feel great. In your praise of someone, in your correction of someone, be specific. Specificity makes you authentic. If you praise someone and tell them just a champion and you leave it at that, tell me why I'm a champion. Tell me why I'm a legend. Tell me why I'm, you know, a great dad or whatever, you know? Otherwise, it feels like a dime a dozen. And the disingenuousness perception can hurt. So tie this in. So I think a lot of people are hurt, feel like leadership or whatever has been disingenuous. They feel like you didn't really care enough, and or your lack of action, or, you know. So be specific in your praise, and then be specific in your correction, and everything must have a grace on it. Because if your intention is for there to be change, and you want to be so right that you're wrong, and that you end up hurting them trying to help them with the correction, like, you made it actually worse. They're actually further away now. So be specific in your praise and in the correction or in the encouragement. And I would say, too, that when people feel really far from God, or if you felt like you've been far from Him for so long, it's like, all I want is to feel you. All I want is to whatever.
Yeah.
And I see this picture. And it's like, He never stopped knocking on your door, man. He never stopped knocking. You moved out of the zip code, out of state, out of country, off the freaking planet, and He's still knocking. And I think that we go looking for God in places where He's been waiting for you all along. So I think that'd be my final encouragement to those that are listening.
Mic drop. Yeah. That was so good.
I don't want, you want me to drop it? So we?
No, it's brand new.
It's an expression. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
David, thank you.
Yeah, man.
Thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for your investment.
That's right.
Thank you for just what you've shared with us today. You know, guys, if you listen to this episode, just chew on it.
I felt this before, and I was going to leave you a message, and I'm like, do I tell them the thing? That feels kind of showy. It's not my heart. So whatever you want to do. But whatever fear, trepidation, wondering that you have around being a dad because you didn't have a model and you've always looked for that, straight up hot garbage. Hot garbage. It is not a requirement for you to have had a father figure in your life that was consistent and stable and pouring into you for you to be a great dad. Hot garbage. Anything other than that is hot garbage. God operates outside of space, time, circumstance, situation, trauma. You will be well equipped. If loving your children is good works, it's going to equip you.
Yeah.
He's got everything that you need, man. Like, He's literally surrounded you with, like, amazing people. And you have so many examples. But more than that, like, if God is with you, like, who or what, your past can be against you, can stop you from loving your kids in a way that you feel like, oh, my Lord, like, this. Anyway, I felt compelled to tell you that, man.
I received that.
Yeah.
That's powerful. David, man, it's been an honor. Thanks for coming on, bro.
Thanks.